You are listening to a recording from the Stories of Change project, funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council under its Connected Communities programme. This recording comes from research undertaken with communities in the valleys of South Wales. This particular contribution comes from the community of Ynys y Bwl from work undertaken in the summer of 2015.
Summit was part of my job, and other work wasn't, but I was helping out. You know, the ropes that go up and down, when they change them, I help with that. Everybody mucks in on that. And all kinds of different work, everybody has to go to help each other. That's the one thing, that's what he said, camaraderie, you know. Yeah, and it's all done in good faith then, you know, yeah.
So, tell me a little bit about the welding. What would you weld? What would you use? What tools would you use? How were they powered? The tools, are they electricity or...?
Well, I'll go back now, a lot longer. I've got to go back a little while now, because in 1956 I joined the army. I was working underground in the pit. And I thought I'd like to see a little bit of life, you know. So I finished in the pit, joined the army. And I thought, well, I might as well get a trade. But I'm here. So if you sign on as a regular,
yeah.
Conscription was in. But if you sign as a regular, you get a bit of choice. Conscription, you don't get no choice. So I asked if I could be a welder, and they said, yeah, there is vacancies. I had to go to the other one.
Cambridge.
The other side of the country.
Cambridge?
No. On the coast.
Portsmouth.
Got it. Well, I had to go to Portsmouth to learn basics. And then you get posted, whatever, and you've got to take it from there, you know, learn. And I came out of the army and I was an ex. I had done all my underground work, training, everything. I also had a stepfather who was an official of the colliery. So, you know, I had no problem getting a job as a welder in the colliery, because who I knew and what I knew. And I started back there, and it went on from there. Just you pick up things pretty quick there, you know. And the boys, like I say, camaraderie, everybody's willing to help you. You know, nobody does a dirty on you, very few. I can tell you two now. In the old time I worked in the colliery, who done a dirty. Two people, all that time. Yep.
So, where were you living when you were working in Lady Windsor? You were living in Ynys y Bwl?
First of all, I was living in Windsor Place. And we moved to that cribbit then when they built that. And that's where I spent my working life, from down the cribbit, wasn't it?
So, Tell me about Windsor Place.
There's very little to say about Windsor Place because it's such a small area. But the post office is there. The two clubs are opposite the house. The post office is next door. Very convenient. And the pit was right behind. I used to go out the back door and up the bank and I was in work. Yeah.
So, and what was your house like?
House?
Yeah.
It was just three stories, and there's a lot of up and down stairs on it, but I had no problem then.
That's fine.
I don't know what you said.
How was the house heated? Did you have coal fire or?
Oh, sorry. Well, what else? What else you gonna have? In them days, what else you gonna have? Huh? everybody had a coal fire. And then boilers started to come in, but very few people had them. Most people had a coal fire, and there was a couple of lorries and men working on them, used to deliver coal from the pit, Lady Windsor, to the houses about the bull. And that's what it's all about. Coal fires.
And was that throughout the house? Was that on every floor?
I had a fire on every floor. But we didn't light it. Just one we used to light. Because we'd lived most of our time in the one room, didn't we? Yeah.
And how would your house have been lit? Did you have electricity?
Yes. Or? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Electricity, water. No hot water.
No hot water?
No, we bought an electric stove in the end. Paid for the week, was it, or the month, or whatever, on HP. An electric stove on HP, and you could boil a saucepan or whatever on there, but we could boil an electric kettle, no problem, anything. But
And how were you in the pit, with the pit head baths at the time, with the already, or would you have to come home and bath, or?
As I said, when I came down from a training pit, when you start off, you start in the training pit up around there on a training face, then you come to your own pit and you work with experienced fella. And what was the question then?
So how would you, were there baths in the pit?
How was there bath?
Yeah.
So when I came down, started in Lady Windsor, there wasn't enough room in the shower, in the baths, for me to have one. But they were building a new addition, an extension then, onto that. So I had to wait till that was finished. So in that period, a tin bath, front of the fire, bucket of hot water on the fire, and that's how I used to bath every day until the bath was finished. And it was marvellous. So I had to go to the showers in the pit, yeah. Marvellous, wasn't it? Mm. But until then, it was a bit of a pot, but there you are, you had to be done, didn't it?
So what was, tell me a little bit about the Unisable and the village, what it was like when you were working at that time. You've just come down to Lady Windsor to work from the training pit. What was it like? What was the village like? Tell me about, was it the smells,
I would say,
and the noise? And
personally speaking, I would say there's very little difference then to what it is now. Because there's still quite a few older people, older than me, still living in Unisable, and you're part of it, you know. Like I see, you see somebody on the street, you've known them for 60 years. So it was a very good place to live, because everybody knew each other, and most people helped other people when they were having a problem or whatever. A good community then. It was a community living, and it was communal.
And what was the landscape like? Was it, were there coal tips, and when the pit was open, or?
We went out on the street there and looked down there. You see the colliery, two sheaves. See it from there, and then past there you come to the mountain. Well, what used to be there then was the tips, the coal waste tips, and it'd be a it was a tipper there going up, and there was a trams going up every day back and forth, taking the waste up, and it coming down and all that. And gradually that extended till you had to start a new trip then, down opposite Robert Street. There was a washery. It was called a washery. It was used to wash the coal and separate it. It was different sizes coal in it. And it used to be all washed and cleaned. And then it get loaded back into trucks and taken away. But they had a tip down there then. So that mountain there is virtually almost all coal waste, but it's been, what's the word?
Landscaped.
It's grown over, you know. Yeah. Put the grass seeds down and everything.
It's like now.
And the coal colliery itself, Lady Windsor's surface, is completely flattened out, and it's beautiful, isn't it? It's one huge big field now, and there's always talk about building houses and that on it, you know. It's, you know, there's always, somebody's always saying it, isn't it? But it's, you would never think it was a colliery there at all. There is no sign at all.
And what do you think of that? What do you think that the fact that the colliery is now not there and it's green again? What do you think?
Well, personally, I think it's a good thing. As you know, the younger generation don't know what they're talking about. They haven't got a clue, you know. Well, that's okay, that's fair enough. But what they've done with the pit, to me, is a good job. They've landscaped it, that's the word. They've landscaped the whole area. And they've done a very, very good job of it. Fair play. And you just, you know, many times I've walked with a dog across the bridge and down the line, the old line, and walked past the washery there, and you just can't see absolutely nothing that was from before. Nothing at all. There's no indication that it was a colliery there, is there?
No.
No. Banished.
Tell David.
But he was the same, wasn't he? Coal makes a right mess. Trying to clean the coal up, set it away is all right. But between the tips and the dust. And talking to an ambulance driver. I had to be taken in by ambulance the other day. About back last year, and he asked me if I knew a certain chap, and I said, yeah, of course I knew him. Got killed in a pit. He said I was in school with him, one of my best friends, he said. And what was I going to say, what was the track then? Oh, yes. And we went on about talking to him and about silicosis. And I said, I don't think I got much silicosis because I never looked at the ground for that long. He said, you don't have to work on the ground, they care, so get dust. People on the surface, I can tell you, I've had silicosis. It was dust in the air on the surface. Not so much on the ground, but it was there. And if you're working in the enclosed area, there's a lot of coal activity going on, you could get silicosis on the surface. A lot of people don't think that, but it's true. And the ambulance driver pointed that out to me. And when he was telling me, I remember a chap lived at the bottom of this street by him. Nice chap, died, silicosis. Never been down a pit in all his life. He worked in a washery. Now there is a lot of dust, yeah. So there you go, innit?
So tell me about, you mentioned you moved to, was it Dana Cribbin?
Hmm.
Why did you move there? Tell me a little about the houses there.
Well, we was living in Windsor Place. It was a three-story house. A very old-fashioned house, no boiler, no nothing. They built on the cribbing, and they, everything in those houses was it. Hot water, you know, bathroom. That's another thing, a bathroom, you're right. And a little bit of garden, and it was wonderful to move into there. It was a nice place. Well, it probably still is a nice place there. Really, yeah. And we enjoyed it there, didn't we? We made a lot of friends there. Yep.
And I've heard that some Durham miners came down and quite a few moved to Dana Cribbin, but they came and lived in caravans.
What's that?
Some Durham miners. Some Durham. Miners from Durham.
Yeah, there was radio through my mine, yeah. The miners come from Durham because the pits were shutting up there and they were given a chance of employment down there. And a lot of them moved into Dana Cribbin. Right. First thing they came down, they moved into caravans. There's a field up at the cemetery there, and behind the cemetery is a field. And there's all caravans put there, big ones. And they went to live in there until Dana Cribbin was finished. Then, soon as that was finished, they moved in down there, wasn't it?
So, tell me a little bit about the first house you lived in. You said it was at Robert Street. Is that where you were when you were growing up?
Prefabs. I lived in Robert Street in apartments until I was 7 years of age. And my grandmother's house was there, and we was living three doors down. We living in a front room, sleeping in my grandmother's, going to the toilet in my grandmother's, eating in my grandmother's. We had a front room to live in there, but that's all. Everything else I had to go three doors up for, to my grandmother's house. That's what we were putting up with. And they built the prefabs. Oh, it was heaven, heaven on earth. As kids, 7 years of age, it was then, we were standing on the road waiting for them. Here they come! And every day they fetch them, yeah? And they come up over the new road down there, straight up to the prefab area there, on flat loaders. And there they are, here they come, and they built all the prefabs there, and then poof. Like my father said to me, we're going up the prefabs to live. Great. So we went up there, and though it was all right living down here, it is like moving into the country up there, really, because it's surrounded by fields and trees and everything. And it was good. Living in a prefab was good, wasn't it? Sorry?
So these are quite modern. These are quite modern, the prefabs. What were they like? Tell me about the prefabs. What did they look like?
Well, it's a job to say, really. The little white house, like corrugated roofs, wasn't it? Tin roofs, but.
And did they?
But they had everything in there. They had a. You open the back door and look straight for you. There's a fridge in the wall. There's a cooker in the wall. You didn't have to buy any of them. They were there set. All set up. Then you had the living room and you had a bathroom then, behind that, everything. Marvellous. Only thing about it was there was only two bedrooms. That's the only thing about them. But to us, it was all right, because me and my brother, we slept in the same room, and no problem. But it could be a problem for some other people, like, but everybody liked living in them, didn't they?
And
yeah.
How were the prefabs heated, Lionel? Did they have coal fires as well, or?
Coal fire. It was that big in the wall, and it's a door on it. And you open the door, only a door about that big, with glass door, something like that by there. Open the door, chuck coal in, shut the door. And I'd keep the house warm. Yeah.
And that was the whole house would be warm? Because of that, or?
Virtually, yeah. There was no other heat in there. And nobody was ever cold in them, as far as I know. Well, we were all our little buggers in them days and all mine. No, they were nice. They were nice to live in. Were they?
And when would this have been? What year, roughly?
What year?
Yeah, roughly. How old would you have been when?
I'm trying to say how old I was when I moved. 1947, the prefabs came here. Yeah.
So tell me about the things that you used to like doing with your brother, maybe, or your friends. What would you do for entertainment?
Go up the mountain and fight. There's a place there called the Gopi, and there's a quarry at the bottom of it, but the Gopi itself now is trees. But at the time there's no trees there, because the manager of the colliery had them all cut down to take down a pit for timber supports. So what was there then was ferns. So we used to go up there in little gangs, prefabs, one side, Church Street, another side, you know, different gangs fighting each other, but it wasn't nasty. And what we used to do was pull the ferns up, get the top off, and throw them with spears. Or sometimes you'd lay traps, you know, you'd lie in the ferns waiting for them to come up this path, and when they came near enough, they woof! I can remember doing it now. Oh, honest, that's what we used to do. We used to have a load of fun. Load of fun. There was nothing to play with except your own entertainment. And I used to go for walks. I go on my own a lot for walks. Right up the brook to Slamwano, you know. And I'd have a couple of trout to come home with. Tickling trout.
So how would you cook the trout when you go home?
Well, my mother cooked the trout. She just fry them, more or less, you know. I don't think there's anything else you could do with them. So there was no microwaves or anything like that. Could grill them, of course. Yeah, grill them, fry them, whatever. But there was a lot of trout in the river then. A lot of trout. Yeah, I don't know what's in there now. I haven't got a clue.
No television? No television? You didn't have... How would you entertain yourself in there?
I can remember the first television. I was a young teenager. And I walked in the house and there was a television on the cupboard. Ooh, I said, what's that? Television. I can remember having it, you know, rented from, what's the name of the shop in Ponty? There was a shop in Ponty to rent out televisions. And our service form rented television. for years, you know.
And what about, was it a cinema?
Cinema.
In Ennis the Bull? Or?
Yeah, the Bull Hall. The Bull Lady Windsor. All mining villages had what they call a workman's hall. You've seen them about. And in the workman's hall was a library, a billiard or snooker, billiard or snooker room, library, and a cinema. And on the cinema, sometimes they'd have plays on the stage, because in front of the screen was a stage, so they'd have plays, local actors. But most of the time, it was a film on. And everybody used to go to the pictures in Ennis the Bull, in the Bull Hall, they used to call it, yeah. He was still there when we was married, wasn't he? Yeah.
We lived opposite
when we got married at Windsor Place. And we used to go to pictures twice a week. So they changed the film halfway through the week. And there was nothing else to do except this. The bingo. Bingo started up. And all the clubs then used to run bingo. The two clubs, they have bingo, I don't know how many days a week. But it's the women used to like that more than the men. The wives used to play bingo. Yeah.
So, how was Ennis the Bull lit at that time? Was there street lighting?
There was street lighting, yeah. Yeah, not as it is now, but there was street light then, yeah.
And what about when people came out to the cinema? Would they go home straight away, or...?
Nowhere else to go, was there? No, they go home straight away. Except for the ones that used to go in the club. And my father or mother were not clubites. They never belonged to a club or anything. They. Till the bingo started. And then they gradually, my father died, right? Passed away, he's only 42 years old. And my mother started, there's a ticker. And my mother started to go to the bingo. Then, didn't she? And of course you'd meet people and that was it. There's bingo in both clubs then. They have bingo sessions. And the women loved it. Bingo in Pontypridd, in the big cinema there. The county cinema, do you remember that? Yeah.
So how would people go to Pontypridd?
On a bus.
Bus?
Red and white drawn there, and PUDC, which is Pontypridd Urban District Council. Anyone, there's three of them used to run up and down. And there were several places that played bingo eventually, or cinemas up there. The Park Cinema, Palladium Cinema, and the County Cinema, and the White Palace Cinema. Four cinemas in Pontypridd. Five, she says.
And but people would go by bus? Were there cars in the village at the time? Or?
Not many people had cars, was there? I can remember when there was two cars. I was living in Robert Street up until 1947. There was a fella doing around selling clothes. I can't remember his name now. No, he'll come back. pretty Yerevan. Then there was the doctor living up road, he had a car. And I saw these two things you'd see about the place.
But eventually people...
There was a fella called... What's he called? Living just down to sell ice cream. No. When I was a kid, there was a fella that had a bicycle, and on the box, on the front was a box, and in that box was ice cream. And used to pedal around the ball, even up the top, selling ice cream. Yeah. That's how, of course, it altered then, as people they started having vans in, didn't they, from both sides. But when I was a kid, it was a bike, and push bike.
And did he make the ice cream locally? Did he make the ice cream in the bowl, or?
You what?
Did he make the ice cream in the bowl? Did he
made it on the, as I know, he made it on the bike. I don't know. I don't really know where he got the ice cream from. But either he made it himself, or they had to deliver it to him. You know, but...
But eventually more cars came in to the village, yeah?
I really can't.
What about the horse and carts?
When I first started Lady Rue, when I was a child, a young man again, most people had coal fire. And you have coal delivered a horse and cart. Right? There you go. Used to be another horse and cart used to come round.
Red.
Yeah, well, you know better than I about all that. Aye.
So
funny old world. And to coal used to be delivered by horse and cart. And then they started delivering with lorries, you know. And there was horses working on the ground. I can remember I was working on the ground at the same time. And I can remember the day they'd come up every year during the miners' holiday and they'd get put out in the field somewhere. And if you see them come up the pit, those horses... You never seen anything so excited in all your life. Came up the pit, and you have to hold on to him like hell. You fetch him out from the pit surface, top of the pit, out into the yard. He goes spare, there was. Kicking the heel, jumping about, running about. But they had blinkers on. Because of the light, you know. There's awful crew in life, really. But they weren't mistreated or badly treated. It was just the conditions they lived in there. In a tunnel. Lived in a tunnel all their life. Yeah.
And this was during the holidays? During the miners' fortnight they'd come up?
They come up in the holidays, yeah. And get taken away to a field and then they get fetched back after. Yeah.
So, where would you go on holiday? Where did you used to go?
In our garden.
Did you ever go to Porthcawl or Barry or...?
Never had a holiday away. The whole time. Until I got married. Then I made sure that we went on holiday then. And the Porthcawl. And I can remember the first time after we got married, went to Porthcawl in a caravan. And one of my mates is working at a car. And he took us down, Brian. He was down by here. He took us down, and that's the first holidays we had, was both called caravan site. Yeah.
And you went by car? You went by car in your friend's car?
Yeah. And we had days in Barry Island, both called, with the chapels, with the clubs, and they used to do it by train. There's a railway track come up in Isabel, across there, and the station is in Windsor Place, the big station was in Windsor Place, and they used to run up there with carriages and everybody get on to go to Barry. And that's how we used to go, by the chapel used to hire the train and everything, and you just pay for it. And it was a good day out, you know, good day out, no matter what the weather was like. You'd always have fun, wouldn't you?
Oh, and when did the train stop coming up to Ernestable? When did the train stop?
Only in Windsor Place, the Dunbar. There was a train stop down by New Road, but it's a small little platform. But I don't think it stopped there with the excursions and that. You know, everybody come to the Windsor Place for there.
And would people use the train for work or just going?
There was a train service,
yeah. But
I wouldn't know nothing about that because I never used it. Never used it.
So did that mean that most people who worked in Lady Windsor were from Annisabull?
Were on the buses. Would come from the valleys, from up Rhondda, and deliver workmen to Lady Windsor and take them home at the end of the shift. The Rhondda buses used to do that, but the service buses of the people could be a red and white. Do you know anything more? Red and white, Rhondda, PUDC, and I think that's it. But that was a service bus. Because there wasn't that many cars about, they could make it pay. And gradually cars started to come in and the buses started to drop out. They went bust, you know.
So where would people get petrol?
Petrol? Yeah. There was one garage in Annisville served petrol and that was a New Road. Oh, up Old Bull. There was one up Old Bell, but that wasn't in the beginning anymore. The one in New Road was back the first, and the news agent, Hardins, used to run it. And that's where they got their petrol from, mostly. Yeah.
And to finish off, is this something you haven't told me that you'd like to tell me about?
Dave, how we used to put coal in when you used to have coal delivered.
Oh yeah. When people had coal delivered, they had to get into the coal house. And most coal houses, they'd have to go through the house with the coal. You'd take it through the rigging house. Well, when I was in Windsor Place, a coal house, three stories, and down the bottom story is where we spend most to live. There's a door there, and behind there was the coal house, indoors. And in the gutter, outside, on the pavement outside, there was a metal lid. So lift that up, and you should check the coal down that chute into the kitchen. All right, there we are.
Tell David.
When we moved down to Cribbin, the place where we lived, there was a long trip up from the road to the house. Or there was, behind, there was an, it carry on men like that, you used to really drop it behind the house. So I'd have to keep up, going up and down hill all the time with a barrow to load it into the house. But a young and strong, and no problem.
So what do you think about coal fires now? Do you?
No way. No way would we have a coal fire now. No way. Got a boiler upstairs. Forget about it. Don't think about it. Don't do nothing to it. It just runs on its own, doesn't it? Don't have enough trouble with it, or haven't anyway.
No. Smoke and pollution and everything.
Fires, yeah. You're bound to have some kickback off it, didn't you? Part time used to go out to the chimney and in the air, didn't it? You light a fire in the house, you're bound to have a cold smell and smoke. You're bound to have it, didn't you?
So was the village smoky when people had coal fires? Were a lot of smoke and
coming out of the chimneys? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I tell you, there were a lot of cooking was done on the coal fire. Most houses, they have what they call the kitchen, which is the back room. And in the middle of the wall, there was fire. And next to the fire, there'd be a small oven door. The heat used to come from the coal fire into the oven. There you are.
So how?
My grandmother was telling me, like, go up to Silas, which is the butcher, get a sheep's head for me. Okay, ma, up we go. Walked in. Hello, Gary boy, what I can do for you? Myself all the time. Sheep's head, three silas. Get a sheep's head, put it on the plank. Pick up his chopper, wallop it right between the eyes. Ruff, right between the eyes. I said, take it down the house then. Give my grandmother or whatever. And the pot was on a fire with chucking vegetables in, and they chucked the sheep heads in the same time. That was a big meal for everybody to get stuck into. That's what we used to live a lot on, like that. There's nothing wrong with it. Today, the youngsters, you wouldn't look at that, would they?
So, to finish off, and really enjoyable, tell me how you think things are different today to when you were growing up. What do you think the main differences are? You know, people today, life today here, compared when you were growing up.
Well, living in Annisable, there's still a bit of community feeling, you know. But outside, I'm not saying it might have it in Kilvinnes or somewhere, but it's a different world, isn't it? There's not community feeling everywhere. Is there? I used to. Something up the mountain. We used to play up the Gopi, didn't I? And the whole mountain was our playing field. And we could go from the whole length of the river up as far as Longman, or just about. That's a long way. Follow the river all the way up. And there was no restrictions on us, hardly anything. And we had the run of the place, really. In the house. So we would play out, make our own entertainment outside. Yeah.
Can I thank you?
Oh, no problem.
Very, very interesting.
I'm sorry I can't be more.
No, it was wonderful. Thank you very much. That's really good.
In the summer, mostly men, would build a pool. There was always one up New Road Brook there, where they put stones and that across the river to make a swimming pool for the kids to have some fun in. There's another one up in Bethel Capel, isn't there? On the main river. You could see the field on the way up. And there used to be one there. Stones and that across the river. Kids used to play in there, swimming pools. And that's the part of the fun we used to have. Make your own swimming pools as well.
Picnics. Yeah. Lots of picnics.
And I think I was born in Robert Street, as far as I can remember. Well, I can't remember it, but as far as I know, I was born in Robert Street, Ennisable.